You've had a great week, and it is turning a little cold, so winter is upon us. We taught last week as we began a new year that starting a new beginning, and that's what the sermon series is this month, talking about how thankful we should be that we serve a God of new beginnings. New things are wonderful. And, you know, we've got the new car smell, the new baby smell. You know, babies, they, just have that unique smell, the puppy breath. You know, things that are new and fresh are exciting. And there's times when, you know, if we're not careful, our walk with the Lord gets kind of dull and is not as sharp as it used to be. And the great news is when that happens, God will give us a fresh start, a new. And so last week we talked about our need for a new heart, and this week we're going to talk about the need for a new mind. And so we want to talk that we're going to see this morning as God desires to change us and continue to work on us, it is through a change in our life, through being made brand new, that we are able to be who God wants us to be. And so Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And here's verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so Paul tells us and challenges us that this new way that takes place, this transformation that takes place, happens by God's word, and happens by God doing a work in our life. And friend, we need to understand that we never, ever get over our need for the Lord. We need Him every second of every minute of every day. Not just when we're saved. I'm glad the Lord doesn't just save us and then leave us. He's with us, and He sticks closer than a brother, as we'll see a couple times. And so we want to look at the story of Joshua this morning. So if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 9 verses this morning, and we find Joshua using what is available to us as well to find a renewed sense of strength and purpose. So verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, and Tim, I realized just a minute ago I forgot to put this in the PowerPoint, so you'll have to actually look in your book this time. But here's what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the coast and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be of good, be of strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance in the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so Joshua, when we meet him here, was in a difficult spot and was certainly nervous and afraid. He had never led without Moses. Moses had always been there. He was a capable leader. He was a capable warrior. And yet, he hadn't done it on his own. He had never led the people into the land of Canaan. He never conquered a country before. And yet, that's what God was calling him to do. And so in order to give Joshua the oomph that he needed and the assurance that he needed, God gave him some words of encouragement and direction. And I think Paul reminds us that the same is true for us. How we are renewed and transformed is by a steady diet of God's word. How our mind is changed is by allowing God to work in our life and to change us. You see, we can make all the New Year's resolutions we want to. The reality, listen, we're on the 12th day of the month, and I'm going to tell you, if your resolutions weren't toast by the 5th last Sunday, I have a feeling they're probably toast by this week. We're only 12 days in. So it's not our making resolutions. It's not us saying and determining or even knowing that we need to do something that makes it happen. In fact, left to our own devices, we do things opposite of what God tells us that we should do. It is only by surrendering ourselves to God and allowing His Word to permeate our life and transform our mind that we're able to live the life that God intends for us to live. So I want us to understand that the Word makes all the difference. And so we're going to see that this morning. And so the first thing that I want us to see is that God gives us the Word of purpose. God gives us the Word of purpose. What got Joshua through difficult days, and as you read the story of Joshua, he had difficult days. He had just lost his mentor. Moses had died, and that was devastating. He's going to go through times when the people of Israel turn against him. Imagine that. We think that, man, he's God's man and God's leader. Everybody should love him and just do what he says. Man, it'd be great if that was the way it worked, but we all know it doesn't work that way. That, you know, being a leader means somebody's not happy with you. That's just the reality. If everybody's happy with you, then you're probably not doing what you're supposed to be doing, or you're not really the leader. Because as you're the leader and you're making decisions and you're trying to encourage people to go in a certain direction, there's times and that they're not going to want to go where you know God wants them to go. And they don't attack God because they know better than that. And so what do? They attack God's spokesman. They attack those that are trying to do. And so in order to sustain Joshua, God says to Joshua, listen, Joshua, I have a plan for you. There's a purpose. And he says, listen, Moses, my servant's dead, and now it's time for the children of Israel to take the land that I've promised them. So go do it. Instruct the people. He said, listen, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I've given it to you. In other words, it's all yours. And so go take it. And so he says, be strong and be of good courage. In fact, he gives that admonition again in just a few verses. Because God wants us to understand that if we want to do what God wants us to do, we're going to require of us that we're strong and that we are courageous. The reality is we probably have pretty good ideas of what God wants us to do, but we're scared to do it because it doesn't seem it's possible to us. It's hard. If God tells us to just do something that's easy and easily accomplished by us, probably wasn't God that told us to do it. Because God wants us to know and understand that it's not our strength, and it's not His, it's not our power, it's not our strength, it's not our resources, it's His. It's Him working in us and through us that brings the transformation. And so He gives them instruction. He said, listen, I want you to take the law, and it shall not depart from you. In other words, you should do it. And so the purpose is to be strong and courageous and to be a person of the book. That we are to not only read the Bible, but God says, you know what? You ought to live it. You ought to let it change you. And so our purpose as God's people are to be strong and courageous, to allow God's word to permeate every area of our life so that God can remake us, so that God can transform us. It starts with getting that new heart that we talked about last week, but it continues as God changes and transforms our mind. It's the journey of toward holiness, what the big theological word, sanctification, simply means to be made holy, to be set apart, and understand that that is what your purpose is to be set apart for God. God intends for every one of us to be changed. Not to look like this world, but to look like Him. And to think like Him. And to act like Him. Now, we will not become many gods. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when God is in control of our life and we're growing in Him, we become more and more like Him every day. So that when we get to heaven and for eternity, it's not a big change. All we've done is change addresses. And so God says, listen, your purpose is to be strong, be courageous, to be a person of the book, to know God's word. And He said, if you'll do it, if you don't go from the left or from the right of it, you'll find your way prosperous. Now, He is not preaching a health and wealth prosperity gospel. He's saying, listen, God's precepts that He's put in His word work. And if you do the things that God tells you to do, things will work. And you'll find yourself prosperous. Not necessarily money-wise, but you'll find that, you know what, you're blessed. And that you've got food, and you've got clothing, and you've got purpose, and you've got community and family in God. And so He says, listen, I want you to understand something. That you need God's Word in your life. You need a regular diet of God's Word. And not just reading it, but you need to study it and let it permeate your life. Asking questions as after you read a scripture, think for a minute. What on earth is that saying to me? Saying, listen, is there something God's telling me that I need to change? Is there a promise here that I need to claim? Every word of this book is written for my benefit, for your benefit, for the benefit of God's people. Our task is to figure out what that benefit is and what God's trying to say to us. How on earth can we possibly do that if the only time we think about God's word is on church on Sunday? As you could, do any of you just eat on Sunday? None of you do. In fact, every one of you eat several times through the day. Every day. Just as God has designed our physical body to need sustenance, to need food, our spiritual bodies need food. God's Word and us devouring, reading God's Word and applying it to our life is what feeds our spiritual beings and how we're transformed into the person that God created us to be. And so we need to have a regular, steady diet of God's Word. We ought to be reading it privately. We ought to be studying it corporately with other group of believers coming together and talking about God's Word. Not just hearing it one day a week. But listen, and it's so available to us now. You can get it on your iPad, on your phone, a paper copy. People say, well, that King James, I can't. Well, guess what? There's lots of other versions that have been written by men and women that are a lot smarter than I am that are faithful to what God's Word is. And so if you can't understand one, find you one you can understand. You see, we're good at making excuses, but God's not interested in our excuses. He's interested in our doing. So regularly digest God's Word. Another thing we can do is we can find Bible reading apps, and there's lots of them. I'll put a link to one on our Facebook page that Leslie and I use, and maybe you'll find it beneficial as well. Secondly, not only is there the Word of purpose that helps us have this new mind, but there's a Word of promise. You see, here in these first 9 verses, God gives Joshua some big promises. Yes, he says, I'm going to give you stuff, but more importantly, he says, I'm going to be with you, and we're going to do it together. And here's the thing, that when difficulties come, Joshua depends on God's Word, because he's hidden it in his heart. And because he's hidden in his heart, when he needs it, guess what? It's there to pull up. If we've not hidden it in our heart, we've not digested it, we don't have it to use. And that's why it's so important that we have a regular, steady diet of God's Word. So just briefly this morning, I want to mention some of the promises that God not only gives to Joshua, but that God gives in His Word. So Isaiah 40:29, God says, He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases his strength. Isaiah 41:10 says, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Then in James 1:5 says, If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. How about 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, aren't you glad for that? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Or how about Philippians 4:19? My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in the glory in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Or how about Romans 8:28? We know that for those that love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Or how about just another page over, Romans 10:9? If we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What marvelous one, and that's only a small sampling of the promises that God makes in His Word. And there are promises from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all 66 books of the Bible. There's promises that God has for us. But so often we're malnourished and we're unaware of the promises that God makes for us. Not because God hasn't told us the promises, but we haven't digested them. We haven't read them. And we haven't lived his truth. And we're not interested in being transformed by the renewing of our mind. But God wants us to be different. And so he gives promises. Promises throughout the Bible. And God desires for us, as we read his word, to see it as somewhat of a treasure hunt. To find the rich truths of God's word. God says in Lamentations, he says, you know what? Every morning, God's mercies I see. As we read God's word, continuously are reminded that God's with us, that he's not forsaken us. And that helped Joshua pull through. Joshua is a fascinating book, and you know, Joshua is a man that God uses to accomplish great things. But it wasn't Joshua's intellect. It wasn't Joshua's good looks. It wasn't Joshua's strength. It was Joshua's dependence upon the Lord. Joshua knew the promises of God. He knew them even, you remember, as a spy. When others said, this land's too much for us. There's no way we can do it. Joshua and Caleb said, listen, yeah, they're big. But God said, that's our land. And we need to go take it. Joshua was a man of faith. But that faith was active. He acted on what he had faith in. You see, if we really don't act, we really don't have faith. But what helped Joshua be able to act was he knew this last point, and that's the word of presence. Joshua 1:9, let me read it to you again. Have I not commanded you already, he said? Be strong and courageous. He says it three times in these nine verses. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as you enter the land, as you go to Jericho, as you go throughout all of these places, you'll have victory. And we see that. When God's people trusted God and did what God said and knew that God was with them, they found victory. But when they tried to do it their own way and when they thought, you know what, they didn't really need God, things did not go their way. God reminds us over and over again in his word, he's with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, you can trust in me, for I will always be there for you. And so there's this element, as we get a new mind, of trust. But then there's another side to that coin. It is trust, but it is also obey. You see, we really can't trust and find God's blessings. We have to trust and obey, and then we find God's blessing. And we find that God is with us, and that's all we really need. So as we look at this new year, we say, listen, how am I going to be this new person? How am I going to accomplish what God's given to me this year? Well, the good news is, with God's help. With God giving you a new heart and then giving you a renewed mind. And the way your mind is renewed is through a regular daily diet of God's word. You don't just need it on Sunday. You don't just need it on Wednesday, although you need it those 2 days, and those are the 2 days that our church, in particular, gathers corporately to study God's Word. You need God's Word regularly. And by regularly, I mean every day. You need to be taking it in and soaking it in, but not just knowing it. You've got to obey it. See, God does, you've heard probably teachers say, and as maybe a parent, you've uttered the words, "Am I talking just to hear myself talk?" Now, don't make the mistake of answering that question. It's a rhetorical question. They don't really want you to answer. The answer is no. They're not. But I wonder if God doesn't think sometimes, and if God doesn't want to scream at all of us, "Do you think I'm just talking?" No, he's not. He's saying what he says to us because he expects us to hear it and to obey it and to put it into practice. And he promises us that when we do that, he will be with us. And that we'll be victorious and that we'll be made new. This world's falling apart. You don't believe it? Just watch the news for 5 minutes. Doesn't matter what channel you watch. Any of them. And not for all day. Just for 5 minutes. And after that 5 minutes, you don't think this world is falling apart. You're in trouble. This world is falling apart. But here's the thing. God's not. So are we going to put our trust in this world? Or are we going to let God renew our mind? Are we going to let God change us and make us into something different? Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, we thank you for your word, how it challenges us and how it remakes us. Lord, one great promise in your word says if we believe in our heart, Jesus died for our sin, and we confess with our mouth that he is our Savior, we will be saved. Lord, if there's someone here today or watching on the internet that doesn't know you and they've never received that great promise, would you help them today to trust and obey you? Lord, for those of us that do know you and are saved and are living for you, why, this has been a reminder as we start a new year that we need to be renewed. We need a regular, steady diet of your word. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst after your word. But Lord, help us to obey it. Help us to have a hunger not just to read it, but to do it. God, may we see you change us and make us into something that we couldn't even dream possible by your power and by your might, by your spirit. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to do what you've called us to do. Help us to be renewed and renew us day by day, that your mercies new we would see every single day. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. God spoke to your heart, and there's a decision that you need to make today. It would be a great day and a great time to make that decision. So let's sing together, if God spoke to your heart.